Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Good morning, church family. It is great to be with you today. And I love that song. And just a reminder that everything we are doing here today is for the sake of His name. Amen? That above even our own abundance, above of any of that stuff, the reason we are here today is to proclaim the glory of God's name. He is worthy of all that. And in light of that, just want to, again, thank all the VBS volunteers from this week. And just to have a moment of thanking the Lord for the work that He did in the lives of these kiddos this week. We had the opportunity to show the love of Christ and to share the simple, clear message of the gospel with over 60 kiddos from this community, and at the end of the week, to see 7 children make a clear profession of faith. We are very thankful for what God is doing in the lives of these kiddos. So we want to continue to pray for these kids and primarily to pray for their families as they now have the opportunity to interact with their kids and help them to grow in the gospel message. So we are in our last sermon on the topic of words, and our primary text today is going to be Proverbs chapter 26, if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles there. And as you know, we've talked about this a couple times, but as we teach through Proverbs, it's a little bit different than we normally do. This is very topic-driven, because that's really how the book of Proverbs is laid out. There's all these topics, but they're very scattered, and it's not like a clear, just direct teaching like we typically do. So throughout the summer months, we're going to kind of have some of these topics that we're going to cover. And next week, we're going to start the topic of godly friendships. And we do have schedules in the front and the back if you want to get one of those. And we encourage you to read those texts ahead of time and to allow God to kind of be stirring those ideas in your mind before we come gather together. So this morning, I want to start out with a story. There's 3 people who are getting pretty serious about their faith. And so they decided they'd start meeting together. And they wanted to grow in these areas of real weakness in their life. And so they came and they were going to share these weaknesses together. You know, this was a real vulnerable moment. So the first person comes up and he says, I really struggle with an addiction that people don't know about. You know, my family doesn't even know about this addiction, but something I really want to break free from this struggle. And I want you guys to pray with me about this. The next guy comes, he says, my real struggle is stealing. I really have this heart that desires things, and when I can't have it, I just want to take it. And I really want to overcome this. I need your help. So they encouraged him. The third guy comes up and he says, my greatest weakness and struggle is gossip, and I really can't wait to get out of this room. Now, if you've ever been in a situation like that, you realize how scary that can be. You realize how damaging it can be when we choose to trust somebody with a story or a part of our lives, and when somebody chooses to have that heart of gossip, it completely can destroy and break relationships. You see, at the heart of it, gossip destroys trust. And when trust is destroyed, relationships are broken. And when relationships are broken, we know and have experienced just this waterfall effect of what happens. We've all seen gossip destroy families. We've seen it destroy churches. We've seen the powerful effect of gossip. But gossip has become so common in our world that we kind of don't even really recognize it. If you really just step back and think, what drives social media, the vast majority of it is gossip. It's a place we can go, we can kind of vent ourselves, we can share things, we can say things we would never have the courage to say to somebody's face. And oftentimes we use that as a means of kind of having power over other people. Did you see what she shared today? You didn't see that? What's going on? Gossip is something that just is so prevalent in our world, but we miss it. The New York Times had an article that estimated that kind of the celebrity gossip world brings in $3 billion per year. We spend $3 billion per year to know what's going on in the lives of people that we're never going to meet. But there's something in our human souls that desires and longs to have that information. And so gossip is everywhere in our lives, but really very rarely something that we recognize. But I want to show you a couple ways, just kind of some introductory stuff, of how the Bible speaks about this topic of gossip. Proverbs 16:28 says this, "A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends." Now, do you see the power of this whisperer, this gossip, this one who's spreading information? Do you see that this one has the power to separate even the closest of relationships? We see this all the time. We see people who have been best friends for years who will no longer speak to one another. We see husbands and wives who are broken because of stories that were shared. Gossip has the power to separate the closest of friendships. Now, when we see this word perverse, I know a lot of different images come to our minds, but I want to help us remember what this word means. Perverse simply means crooked. It means something that's bent. So you think of an arrow. If you're gonna shoot an arrow, you need that arrow to be straight or it's just not going to work. If you have a bent arrow, it's going to come out of that bow and it's going to do all kinds of crazy things. And so here we're seeing this comparison that this perverse man or woman is the one who does this task of whispering. You see, God gave us this incredible gift of language. He gave us the ability to use our words, and he did that for the purpose of proclaiming and building up his name and for speaking life to one another. But oftentimes we take this gift that God has given us and we use it in this perverse, twisted, bent, crooked way. And instead of bringing up life and unity, we use our words to divide and to destroy and to put down. What God intended to be a great gift is now this great weapon that does incredible damage. Well, there's another place that talks about this idea of gossip, and it's when Paul is getting ready to go back to the church of Corinth. And Paul's been away from this church for a while, and he's writing them in kind of preparation for his coming visit. And look at what he says. "This is what I fear. I fear that when I come back, I shall not find you as I wish. There might be contentions or jealousies or outbursts of wrath or selfish ambitions or backbiting or whisperings, conceits, and disorder." Now, if you were going to talk to a church and say, "Hey, look, here's the top 20 things I need you to be aware of," would gossip make your list? For most of us, it probably wouldn't, because it's something that we don't really think about a lot. But the reality is, Paul recognized, "I am terrified I'm going to come back and you guys are going to be a church of gossipers, because if you are, we are in serious trouble. Because there can be no trust and there can be no relationships if this is a place of gossip." So I want us to kind of slow down today as we think about this topic. And honestly, for myself, as I was preparing for this sermon, it was like, "Oh, gossip, that's cool. That's not something I overly struggle with." But the more I studied, the more I realized sometimes the way we view gossip is very small compared to the way that the Bible describes gossip. Sometimes it talks about gossip in a much more broad way that I think we're all going to find is way more prevalent in our lives than we probably recognize or really care to admit. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to jump into Proverbs chapter 26. Father, we know our words have great power. They have power to bring life, and they have power to bring death. Father, open our eyes and desensitize our hearts. Or sensitize our hearts from the ways that we don't even see gossip in our lives. God, it's so common, it's so normal, it's so prevalent around us that we don't even see it or notice it. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts to be able to just see it with a burning hatred that you have for it. Father, our greatest desire is to see relationships restored and trust being rebuilt, and we know it'll never happen when this is a problem. Father, we want to get to the heart of this issue, and we want to solve it so that we can be about building relationships and unity as you are. Pray you guide our discussion this morning. We thank you for this church family. In your name we pray. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 26, I'm going to start out reading verse 22, and this is what it says. "The words of a talebearer are like tasty morsels, and they go down into the inner parts of the body." I'm not sure about you, I have never used the word talebearer in my life. It's a bit of a strange one, but it is a great word, a really exciting word. You think of like, what is that saying? It's one who carries a tale, right? It's one who's carrying a story from place to place. So your Bible may say things like a gossip or a slanderer or a whisperer. All these different terms are getting at the same idea. But it's the one who is taking this story that they have and they're carrying that story and delivering it to a new place. Now, this idea of gossip or talebearing is kind of hard to define. Because as we look at our lives, there are situations where it's like, okay, I have this story. Is it actually right for me to share it, or is that gossip? And sometimes we really wrestle with that question because we want to be sensitive to that, but sometimes we think this is something I need to share with somebody, but I don't know how to do that in a way that's not gossiping, and I'm just not sure. So it's kind of a hard idea to really encompass. And so I'm going to give you this broad definition. Don't like beat me up over this or something. But gossip is simply sharing a story that isn't rightfully mine to share. Okay? Gossiping is sharing a story that's not rightfully mine to share. And now there's a whole lot of like parts to that definition and a lot of ways that that has to flesh itself out. And we certainly need the wisdom of God to know one from the other. But at the heart of it, that's what it is. It's taking a story and it's using it in a way that's not for something that I should have used it for. Now, oftentimes we think about gossip, we think about this person that's doing it with this evil intent, right? They are maliciously out to hurt somebody. But the reality is a lot of us gossip not at all out of this hard intent, but just because we're not careful with our words. We speak quickly, we speak a lot, we just talk, we're sharing stories, and we are not trying to hurt anybody, but we are still committing the very act of gossip. So what is this gossip? Let me give you some questions that may help you wrestle this out. And now, I don't know where my wife got these things, but this is like a statement that I hear in our house every day. And it's just a wonderful little phrase to stick into your mind because it is so helpful in these situations of life. He's heard this before. So when we are coming up to this thing, is this a question or is this a story I should share? Ask yourself these questions. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? So let's just start up. Is it true, right? How often do we share a story that we don't actually know if it's true, but we heard from someone that it maybe was, right? And sometimes we know the source of that story, and it's a little sketchy, and yet we are willing to share that story anyways because it is a good story. Or maybe we don't just outright do that, but maybe we really like to exaggerate a story. Maybe we like to embellish that a little bit, right? And yeah, that person, they just walked by and didn't say hi to me, but I can tell that story in a way that they absolutely hate me. They walked by, they tried to trip me, they yelled at me. And all of a sudden, we've taken this story and we've made it something that's not true. Is it necessary? Now, this is a really important question to ask because the idea of necessary is getting at the motivation of our heart. Why am I sharing this story? Am I sharing this story actually because this is going to bring benefit and spiritual well-being to the one who's hearing it and the one I'm talking about? Or am I just sharing this story because I kind of want to? I really just want to get these, I want to taste the words coming out of my mouth. Or am I actually doing it because this is what needs to be said? You know, it's a whole lot easier to talk about someone than it is to talk to someone. And we think about this idea, is this necessary? Am I actually talking about this person? Or is this something that I am talking about this story because I need to get to the heart of how to actually help this individual? So is it necessary? And maybe the third thing that's really important, is it kind? Am I sharing this story in a way that's gracious, that's giving the benefit of the doubt? Or am I sharing this story in a way that I would be absolutely terrified and so embarrassed if that person knew I was the source of this information? Right? There's a very different way to do that. We can tell the same story in a way that is absolutely demeaning and crushing, and in a way that is kind and building up. So as we start to get our heads around what is this idea of gossip, these are the questions we have to ask. And so just give you one example. Is this gossip or not? Well, if Jeremy really offends me, he hurts me deeply, and I decide I'm going to go talk to Kyle about it. Now, if I go to Kyle and I'm saying, you'll never believe what he did. He's such a punk. Like, this, I could just, you know, I know his motive for doing this. He's trying to hurt me. He's wanting to destroy me. Right? Well, that's gossip. Because Matthew 18 clearly says, if my brother has offended me, I go to that person. Now, I also could be in a situation where, you know, there are times in our life where maybe we are offended by something. And there's a spiritual person in our life, and we say, you know what, I was just hurt by this. What am I missing here? What's an appropriate way to have this conversation? I don't know how to talk to this person about it. I want to make this right. I don't want to hurt our relationships, but I don't know how to do that. Can you help me? See, we've just taken the same story, and we've turned it from one that is demeaning to one that is actually going to build up and bring us together. Because Matthew 18 also goes on and says, look, I've tried to have this conversation, but it didn't go well, so now I need to go bring a helper. Well, if I'm going to bring a helper into this discussion, they need to know what's going on. And so there may be a time where I have to share details of what's happening, but I'm doing it for the purpose of this greater purpose of how do we restore this person and build unity. So gossip doesn't mean I can never talk about another person or I can never share hurtful things, but it doesn't mean I need to be very, very careful about the way I do it. I need to make sure I'm doing it from a heart that's actually pure, and I need to make sure I'm doing it in a way that is actually kind. Now, as we go back to our verse, we recognize how attractive this gossip idea is. The words of a talebearer are like tasty morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Could you just feel like your favorite snack in your mouth right now, and you're just salivating as you're chewing up that cookie or whatever, and every bite you just are loving it? Well, the reality is because of the broken condition of our hearts, that's what gossip does for us. We all love gossip. Why do we love it so much? Why is it so tasty for us to hear? Because we all love a good story. We love it. Have you ever been in one of those situations where somebody's just talking, they're going on and on and on and on and on and on and on, and you're totally zoned out, but then they get to this part where they start to share some good gossip, and you're like, what? All of a sudden, you're real tuned in. You want to hear the details. You want to know exactly what was said, because we all love a good story. We love to hear about the misfortunes and the problems of other people. So we love it. It tastes good to us. But we also love gossip, and it's tasty to us because knowledge is power, right? If I know a story about you, all of a sudden I have a whole lot of power over you. I can use that story in so many different ways. Ask a teenager. Teenagers have been the victims of this. Somebody hears a story about them, and that story is used to absolutely destroy their lives. When I know something about you, that is powerful. It feels good to know that story about you. I can use that in any way that I want to. And so I want to be in the know. I want to know what's going on. See, this is nasty stuff. But it's tasty to us, and we love it. And look what happens. When we get this little bit of information, what do we do with it? We tuck it down in our inner parts. It's almost this picture of like this precious thing that we have, and we put it away in our safe for safekeeping. When I hear a story about you, I just tuck it away. I might not go blab about it right then, but I'm going to tuck it away, and I'm going to have it stored somewhere so that when I need it, it's ready. It is a loaded weapon that I have just sitting there waiting for the opportune moment. Now, maybe you hear this, and you're like, you know, this is not me. I don't do that. I don't do that to people. But oftentimes we do this very unintentionally. Without ever thinking, we are giving somebody this loaded weapon to use against other people. And in the process, we are destroying relationships and destroying people's credibility. So gossip's a very attractive thing. Well, where does this come from? Verse 21 tells us, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood is to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You know, before you can ever have burning coals, you have to have charcoal. Before you can ever have a big raging fire, you have to have wood. Before you can ever have strife, you have to have a contentious man or woman. You see, you can't have, strife won't exist in relationships unless there is a contentious person. But when there is a contentious person, they know how to kindle that. They know how to build that fire. They know how to care for it and protect it, and they know how to make that thing rage absolutely out of control. Now, again, we hear the word contentious, and that sounds so intentional or hostile, and we just think, you know, I don't really know what that has to do with me. But the reality is, all of us can be this person. See, gossip can never spread unless there's a person to do the spreading. Gossip will die every single time if there's not somebody who's willing to carry that story on to the next host. And so I want us to think about just different ways we've experienced this. Maybe there's a time in your life where you saw somebody intentionally use a story to destroy others. You know, maybe there's a coworker that you were jealous about, and they got that promotion that you didn't, and so all of a sudden you decide, you know, I'm gonna just kind of feed this fire a little bit. And you just kind of put out some comments about that person. You're starting to put that person down, all of a sudden there's all this doubt cast around that individual. You see, there never had to be strife there, but there was a contention in my heart that looked for this opportunity and used it for my own advantage. But there's other times that we do this very unintentionally. And we're just telling a story. We're just kind of getting carried away. We just wanted to have something to say, and so we talk. And yet when we do that, we are doing this same thing. We are adding wood to this fire that destroys relationships and lives. And now, as we've studied out this series on words, we've oftentimes, when we think about words, we really get this idea in our minds that in order to be really good with my words, it's just a lot of discipline. I just want to become a disciplined person so that I'm not this contentious individual. But the reality is, this idea of contention does not just come from our words, it comes from our hearts. So Jesus tells us the real source of gossip in Luke chapter 6. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. You see, gossip reflects my defiled heart. When I choose to carry that tale and to spread that tale, it's revealing there is something so broken within me. And if I want to fix this issue, I don't fix it on the level of what I'm saying. I fix it on the level of my heart. What do the perverse speech that I'm practicing, what is that saying about my heart? What is the motive of my heart that wants to share this story? Sometimes it's very clear. I want to hurt this person. Sometimes it's, I want to feel better about myself, and so I want to tell others how nasty of a person this is. And sometimes it's not that dark, and it's just, I just wanted to share the story, and I was excited, but that's also revealing just a level of selfishness within me. That wasn't my story to get shared. That wasn't my joy to get to give to other people, but I stole that because of my own selfish desires. So Jesus is encouraging us here. When we hear ourselves, we find ourselves struggling with this reality, we need to stop and say, what is it that is causing this to be something that is flourishing in my heart and in my mouth? So when I find myself gossiping, just stop in that moment. Lord, you are revealing my heart to me. This is a window into my heart that has to die. But until our desires change, our gossip and our speech never will. So here we are, we're at this place, we see how destructive of an issue this is, we see the brokenness of our own hearts, how do we actually go about fixing this? Now Proverbs 26:20 gives us some ideas about the death of gossip. How do we kill gossip? Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strifes cease. Well, the very simple thing, how do we kill gossip? Don't fuel the fire, all right? So I have this candle up here, and I could light this candle, and I could leave it sitting here burning all day. And some of you, how many times have you like lit a candle and left your house, and you realize you left a candle burning all day, right? Now, that's not an overly alarming thing. Now, this table's a little sketchy, it might be. But I could leave this candle lit right here, and none of you are probably like just super on edge right now, right? You're not really nervous about that. But if you were to see me get pieces of paper and start to put pieces of paper in it, and I take these sticks and I start to build my nice little teepee, right? You'd probably start to have some concern. Because what's going to happen? Every stick that I add to that fire is going to make this thing grow and grow and grow. And so in order to kill gossip in our lives, it's a very simple principle, don't fuel the fire. But I do want us to step back and realize there's multiple ways that we can actually fuel this fire. Well, I certainly can fuel the fire by the words that I say, right? Every word I speak is either adding wood to this fire or taking wood off this fire. The words I say are either adding to brokenness and strife and putting down of others, or I'm able to kind of diffuse these situations and remove some of those logs off the fire. You know, we are very thankful in this country to have freedom of speech. But just because you are free to talk doesn't mean you should. All right? I think we need to hear that sometimes. Freedom of speech does not mean it's always wise and always right to say everything on my mind. Oftentimes, those things on my mind that are coming from a contentious, broken heart are things that are adding fuel to the fire, that are destroying relationships. But you know what? We also add wood to the fire by what we choose to listen to and what we allow others to say to us. How many times have you been in that situation where somebody's like, you know, I probably shouldn't tell you this? What goes on in your heart at that moment? I don't know about you, but my heart beats a little faster. I'm like, oh, I love these, right? These are the good ones. This is going to be exciting. We love it. That's brokenness. I'm adding fuel to that fire. I might not say a word. I might just sit and, oh, yeah, okay, I'm here for you if you need me. I'd love to pray with you about that if I can. But in reality, our hearts are fueling this thing because we want the information. Because the thought that you know something that I don't is just tearing me up and I want to be in on it. You know, instead, what would happen if our hearts, when somebody says, you know, I don't know if I should tell you this, what happens if we just said, hey, I'd encourage you probably really not to then? If you're really wrestling with that, just take a minute. I'll just sit here. Just take a minute and think. Is this true, necessary, kind? Just weigh that out. I'm here to help you if I can help in this situation. But if it's not really that, you're probably right. I would just keep quiet. Well, first of all, that person's going to look at you like you're an absolute crazy person. Because I've never had anybody say that to me in my life. But the reality is that simple moment right there, I'm removing a log from that fire. I'm protecting the identity and the other person that this story is about. Well, this week I was reading about it and I heard a new term that I totally have practiced in my life. It's called gossip baiting, right? It's a great term. You know, let's just say that there's something I really want to know about somebody, but I'm not going to go ask that person. So I'm going to go up to that person and be like, is she okay? I'm just kind of concerned about her. I don't know. Do you know anything going on with her right now? I'm asking you to share everything you know without ever, would just lay it on me. I really am dying to know, right? I'm doing that in a very reserved, respectful way. But the reality is I'm still searching because I want to know that story. I'm adding a log to that fire, and I may be doing it under this cloud of care and concern and just, oh, that's such an admirable thing that you noticed. In reality, I'm just trying to feed my broken heart that wants to know information that's not mine to know. So there's different ways that we can fuel this fire. Here's another one I love. Have you ever been in that situation we talked about with Jeremy and Kyle and I was in the middle of, you know? Have you ever been there and somebody comes to you and be like, you know, I really have a problem with so-and-so? I actually heard a pastor doing this. This is great, okay? So the pastor's sitting down there and this person comes up and, hey, I've really got a problem with so-and-so. All of a sudden, the pastor starts walking away. And the guy's like, well, what are you doing? He's like, well, come on. You have a problem with him. We got to go find him right now. Let's go. I'll go with you. Now, what is going to happen to that person? Do you think that person's ever going to come to you and share like some good gossip about somebody else again? No. You are no longer a receptive source of gossip for that person's life because they don't want to talk to that person. They want to talk about that person. Do you see how powerfully we can remove logs from this fire? Well, there's another way we can remove logs, and here's a picture that you all are familiar with. What are these things? Acorns, right? They litter your yard. They're the most annoying things ever, right? You slip on them, they hit you in the head when they fall, they're everywhere. But what's interesting, we all know inside this acorn is tremendous power, right? This tiny little thing has the power and the ability to make this massive tree. And yet, where do these things come from? They come from a tree, right? And so here's this tree, it's growing these acorns, and they just fall to the ground. Now, these acorns, when they hit the ground, most of them don't grow because they can't. The large tree above them is taking all their nutrients, it's taking all their soil, it's taking their sunlight, and so the majority of these things just sit there and rot. And yet God created these little wonderful animals called squirrels, right? These squirrels, they come, they pick them up, and they carry these things all over the place. And they dig these things down to the ground, they stick them in the ground, and all of a sudden, years later, there's this massive tree that came from this little acorn. But all of the power of this seed couldn't do anything without someone who was willing to carry it. You know, so here I have this, I couldn't find an acorn, so I found this, as close as I could get. So here I have this thing, you know, and when I have this story about you, I have this information about you, in that moment I have a choice to make. I can choose to leave this there and just to crush it, or I can choose to take it and throw this to my friends. And now all of a sudden, that thing that was there is now spread out. And once I've spread that, there is no way I can ever get it back. I can't do anything to take that back from that person, and they can do whatever they want with that thing. Look at how Proverbs 10 describes this situation. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Now, some of us wouldn't look at what just happened and say, well, man, he obviously hates that person. Because sometimes we're just sharing a good story. But when God looks at this and he looks at our hearts and he says, no, what you are practicing is hatred for that person. When you took a story that was not yours to share and you spread that with somebody else, you are acting in nothing but hatred for that person. Now, we may not see gossip very seriously, but God sees it very, very seriously. Instead, what he encourages us to do, he says, love covers all sins. Now, covers doesn't mean I hide it and pretend it's not there. That's our go-to thing. We love to use the Bible and make it say that. That is not what this means. It doesn't mean I just pretend that, oh, you know, yeah, that didn't happen. I'm just going to avoid that. No, but it's like a Band-Aid. Love takes this wound, and it doesn't just carry it around and show everybody. It doesn't add dirt to make the wound worse. It takes a Band-Aid and covers it to protect. I can't always control the things that people choose to tell me, but I can always control what I choose to do with the things that people told me. I can choose to spread that story on. I can choose to allow it to change my view of that person, or I can choose to say, you know what, I'm a broken person too. And all that's happened to that individual, I'm going to do my best to cover that up. I'm going to try to heal that brokenness in my brother or sister. And in so doing that, I'm removing and I am putting to death the power of gossip. So we kill gossip by not lighting the fire and by not being this talebearer who carries story from place to place. We love the idea of, you know, that joke of, do you know how fast news travels around a small town? Well, it's true. But you don't have to be a part of the problem. And oftentimes we kind of say, well, they're probably going to hear about it anyway. We don't have to be part of this problem at all. So what do we do from here? I want us to see and put together why this is such a significant idea to God. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 4. This is what Paul says to the church through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. You know the most annoying part about this verse? It's the first word. Let. You know what the word let means? I have a choice. Every word that comes out of my mouth comes out because I chose to let it come out. Nobody forced me. Nobody mandated me to say it. I chose to say it. I may blame you for it. I may blame them for it. But God says, no, this is something you let happen. This is a choice that you chose to make. So let no corrupt, perverse, bent, twisted word, only the things that are necessary for edification. And now, do you see his reason for why this is so important? Not only does our gossip destroy our relationships, not only does it further pervert our own hearts, primarily what it does is it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. When I gossip and when I share stories that are not mine to share, I am breaking the heart of God. Why is that? Well, just a few verses earlier, he tells us in verses 2 and 3. With all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why does it grieve the Holy Spirit when I choose to just share a little story? Because the Holy Spirit's job is to build unity among his people. The Holy Spirit's greatest desire is to have peace within our relationships. But when I choose to gossip and I carry that tale from place to place, I am directly working against what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. The Holy Spirit is trying to unite and to bond and to build peace. My gossip is destroying and dividing and damaging. His heart is broken when I choose to do this because he sees the devastating effects that it has. So as we close out, I want us to think about two words that sound kind of similar. These two words sound similar. Listen, you ready for them? Gossip, gospel. Do you hear that? Both of these words carry this idea of carrying a tale from place to place. But listen to how different these two tales are. The gospel, it's a message of good news. It's a message that brings life and healing and peace and restoration. It's a message that comes from a heart of love. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God so loved the world that he gave us the message of the gospel to share with the world. God gave us the gospel to proclaim to the entire world. Every man, woman, boy, and girl is our mission. So we can carry the tale of the gospel, which is good news given from a good heart to all people. Or we can carry the news and the story of gossip. Gossip is bad news. It's shameful news. It's given from a heart that is selfish. It's giving from a heart that is contentious and seeking to divide and is wicked. And it's a message that's only given in a whisper. This week, in every week of our lives, we are bearing a tale with our lives and with our words. But we are either bearing the tale of gossip or we are bearing the tale of the gospel. May we be a people who don't get this wrong. May we carry and spread the uniting and peace-filled message of Jesus Christ and put to death the gossip that is so prevalent in this world and that is destroying relationship after relationship. Let's pray. Father, you have given us the best news. That you look into the sinful brokenness of our lives. You look into the wickedness that is within us and the wickedness that wants to destroy and to abuse others for our own well-being. And yet, God, when you see that wickedness in us, you still responded in love. You chose to cover our weakness by sending your son to die in our place. You don't overlook our sin, but you place our sin upon your son and you offer us the ultimate healing that only he can provide. Father, what a message that you have given to us. Father, forgive us as individuals, forgive us as a church for the wickedness and the hatred that we spew from our mouths, whether that's intentionally or whether that's just from carelessness. Father, may we work tirelessly to put to death the gossip that we hear. May we be a people who spread the good news of your gospel message. Father, help us to see the brokenness of our hearts that is bringing us to this place. God, in this moment of quietness, may you speak individually to us and reveal to us the areas that we have to put to death, the desires we have to kill if we are ever going to find victory over this destructive, powerful thing called the tongue. Father, may you bring restoration and healing to relationships that seem beyond repair. Father, we know that you are able to do miraculous work in healing. May you do that in our lives. And if we see that, help us to see that, Father, so that we may bring glory to you, to the praise for the sake of your name. It's in your great name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.